Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed. Good evening, radio listeners. This is your host, Hilton Wells, and just want to talk to you today live concerning a topic that's been on my heart. We certainly appreciate you listening to our broadcast, the Discipleship Now radio broadcast that typically comes on at 4 p.m. We're just so grateful, those of you that throughout the years have contributed to the ministry. We thank God for you. Those that have been faithful listeners, we also thank God for you. And those of you who have never heard the broadcast, certainly we thank God for you listening in today. But this subject here that I want to talk about has been on my heart for some time, and I just felt led by the Spirit of God to go ahead and begin to talk about it today. Probably should have done it months ago, but today is the day. There's no time like the present. Amen. So if you want to call in concerning this subject, the local phone number is 484-2500. Again, local 484-2500, or toll free at 1-877-464-2500. Now, I'm not going to rush. I'm just going to take my time with this because we will be ministering for a little while on this subject. And the day and time we live in, it seems to where things in Scripture are getting to be somewhat watered down. And what I mean by watered down is God can say one thing, but then our culture, society can say something else and end up replacing what we all know God has said. So I want to talk this evening from the subject, the Bible and homosexuality. And by no means is this a topic to discuss, to come against anyone. Certainly we love everyone. We all know what John 3:16 says, that God so loved the world, and that's everybody in it, that he gave Jesus his son on the cross for all of our sins. So he died for us that we might all be saved, and we all come from the world. Amen. None of us were born saved. So God loves us all, and certainly we love everyone. We were all born in sin. And when we accept the salvation of Jesus Christ, we all become brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. So this is a healing topic. We want to bring hope, healing, but also we want to bring understanding of what the Bible has to say about homosexuality. So first off, let's start with the definition of what sin is. Sin, in the New Testament, we know the New Testament was written in the Greek language. It's the word harmatia, which means to miss the mark. It also means guilt, a fault, or a failure in an ethical sense. It also means a sinful deed. Now, that's all coming from the Strong's Concordance. And now, BibleStudyTools.com defines sin as the transgression of God's law. The idea that God is completely essential throughout the entire biblical revelation, that sin is best defined as not only transgression of the law of God, but disobedience to the law of God. And that's coming from BibleStudyTools.com. So then what is a homosexual? What is homosexuality? A homosexual, defined by Merriam-Webster's dictionary, is sexual attraction or the tendency to direct sexual desire toward another of the same sex, the quality or state of being homosexual. Secondly, sexual activity with another of the same sex. That's homosexuality. And many of us know that, but it's good just to give a good, clear definition. Then what is a heterosexual? Okay, heterosexual, of course, is the way God intended us for us to be concerning sexual relations with the human race. It is relating to or characterized by a tendency to direct sexual desire toward the opposite sex. Notice homo is same sex, hetero is the opposite sex. Number two, it says relating to or involving sexual intercourse between individuals of the opposite sex. So we know when you talk about procreation and you talk about marriage, God has instituted that we would be heterosexuals and not homosexuals. And we're going to go ahead and start in the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, where God describes his idea of marriage. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 through 25, the scripture says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." Now I'm reading this from the King James Version. "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman." Notice that God created a man, put him to sleep, took out a rib, and created a woman. Scripture says, "And he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So we see that God establishes from the very beginning that there should be a man and a woman in the marital relationship. We know even from natural law, just the natural occurrence of things, that a homosexual relationship cannot even produce children. It takes two of the opposite sex to actually produce children. It takes a man and a woman. So whenever we see a man with a man engaging in a marital relationship or a dating relationship, something on the inside of us, because we were all created in God's image, we know deep down that it's a perverseness. Not that they are bad people, they've made a choice, but we cannot accept this as being right. You cannot accept this as being ordained by God. So even though our judicial system has established that, and we know that on June the 26th, I believe, 2015, we had a 5-4 vote to where five Supreme Court justices decided that marriage should be now defined, or redefined rather, as being with the same sex versus from a biblical standpoint of a man and a woman. So when we see this, most people, that's something. Now we, because we don't want to judge and we don't want anybody to have their feelings hurt, many times we don't say anything, but the truth of the matter is not natural, is not of God. And God doesn't accept that. Does he accept the people? Sure he does. He loves every homosexual out there, just like he loves the fornicator and the adulterer, the liar, the thief. All of us were born in sin, but we cannot accept these relationships as being biblical. Even in our schools, these things are being taught. You can see them now on television programs, to where it's being kindred, if you will, to mixed race couples and things of that nature. You won't find in scripture, well, God had a problem with mixed race relationships. So that's what is many times connected to. The problem you have is, and I'm going to go further here, in Leviticus chapter 18, I'll start first with the King James Version. It says, "Thou should not live," correction, "thou should not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." Leviticus 18 and 22 from the New International Version says, do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. That is detestable. That same text in the Amplified Version says, thou shalt not lie intimately with a male as one lies with a female. It is repulsive. Leviticus 18:22 from the ERV translation says, men, you must not have sexual relations with another man as with a woman. That is a terrible sin. So in each translation, when you look at that text, we see that God is not for homosexuality. He's not for same-sex marriage. Is he for the people? Does he love the people? We know he does. But the act itself is an abomination. It's detestable. It's repulsive. It's a terrible sin, according to Scripture. Then we find in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32, from the New International Version, and it reads, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. See, whenever we're doing something that is sinful, we have to suppress it until we come to a place to where we're really tired of it. We're tired of living in a state of sin, or we're tired of the guilt or the condemnation in some instances that we feel. And we say, you know what, God, I don't want to do this anymore. Forgive me. Deliver me from this. And that's what should take place. If it's not, then that sin is being suppressed. And that's what you have to do as a homosexual, someone who's lesbian, gay, transgender. It's suppressed. In their inner man, in their inner person, they know it's not right, okay? But it has to be suppressed. And that's what was being done here, as Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1. It was suppressed. It says, they suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but in their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Now, of course, there he's talking about idolatry, worshiping images, idols, things of that nature. And we know the children of Israel will entice to do the same thing. And it's been going on throughout history. So these are different sins that Paul is describing that were practiced but suppressed, even though our conscience tells us something's not right about this. And it's the same thing with homosexuality. And we'll see this as we continue to read. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. That's what's taking place. And what has happened is because our government has legalized it, it's come in a sense to where this lie is acceptable. This lie is now celebrated. So we have to be careful in this day and time how we deal with the people, because we know all sin is sin, and we want everybody to know the love of God, but we also want them to know truth. Just because a court gives a piece of paper and says that these people are legal and married, that does not mean that they're married in the eyesight of God. What you really have are two people that may, you know, have some love for each other, but really they're expressing lust and perversion. And we just have to be honest about that, and in love, pray for them and help them to know what the truth of God's word is. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. So God gave them over to a